Alex is going to come up and read for us in English.
Hi, everyone. Today's scripture reading is Hebrews 3:1-6. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory.
ヘブル人への手紙3章1節から6節。そういうわけですから、天の召しに預かっている聖なる兄弟たち、私たちの告白する信仰の使徒であり大祭司であるイエスのことを考えなさい。モーセが神の家全体のために忠実であったのと同様に、イエスはご自分の建てた方に対して忠実なのです。家よりも家を建てる者が大きな栄養を持つのと同様に、イエスはモーセよりも大きな栄光を受けるのにふさわしいとされました。家はそれぞれ誰かが建てるのですが、すべてのものを作られた方は神です。モーセはしもべとして神の家全体のために忠実でした。それは後に語られることを証しするためでした。しかしキリストは御子として神の家を忠実に治められるのです。もし私たちが確信と希望による誇りとを終わりまでしっかりと持ち続けるならば、私たちが神の家なのです。
Good morning. How's everyone doing? Super, super good, good. It's good to see all of you here today. Anyone excited for the Super Bowl? No. This didn't look like a Super Bowl crowd. I didn't think so. It's okay. You know, if you guys said yes, I would have just wrapped it up right here and said, you know, this passage here talks about the stumbling block of Moses. You know, Jesus is greater than Moses. Did that statement bother anyone? No, I don't think it did, right? For us, you know, most of us, we're not Jewish, so Moses isn't a big deal to a lot of us. So if I said Jesus is greater than Moses, you know, there were at the time, and there probably still are people that the hairs on the back of their head would have just went up, and they were ready to throw maybe their shoe at you or something like that, you know? But I don't think anyone cares if I said Jesus is greater than Moses. Even if you're not Christian, I don't think you would care if I make that statement. So I could have just wrapped it up and said, hey, let's go watch and enjoy the Super Bowl. But, you know, since nobody cares about the Super Bowl, I'm going to punish you guys. No, just kidding. But I think there's a lot going on in these verses. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Let me just stop there real quick. How many of you know you have a heavenly calling? Yeah. You know, we all know about our maybe earthly callings. We have a heavenly calling and a heavenly identity. Those are two important things to remember. Heavenly calling, heavenly identity. Just as we have an earthly calling, earthly identity, right? There's a difference between those. For example, Paul, who is a very famous writer in the scripture, I don't know if he wrote the book of Hebrews, but Paul says, I have been called to be an apostle. That was his calling. What was Paul's identity? It's always the same for Christians. Paul's identity was a child of God. Now, I wasn't going to talk about calling and identity so much, but I felt like that's something that I feel like we should talk about, calling and identity. It's important to know that we have those two things and know the difference a little bit. What is your calling? And your heavenly calling at that. We have an earthly calling and we have a heavenly calling. I think those two coincide to a certain degree. And I think how we do on earth determines how we do in heaven. That's just my feel I get when I read scripture. But our heavenly calling, heavenly identity, our calling is what we do. Our identity is who we are. Our calling is what we do. Our identity is who we are. For some of you, your calling is temporary. So some of you right now are called to be students. Some of you are called to be teachers. Some of you are called to be musicians. Some of you are called to be and fill in the blank. And that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what God appointed you to do. Jesus was appointed here on earth to be an apostle, meaning he spoke the word of God, and the high priest, meaning he sacrificed for the people of God. He was appointed to that. That's what he did. Who he was determined how he did it. Who he was determines how he did it. Who we are determines how we do what we're called to do. How we are a student, how we are a teacher, how we are an etc. musician. Now what does that mean? How? What do you mean, how we do a teacher? Or English is my second language. Even though it's my dominant language, so I don't have an excuse for not just being able to speak well. But anyways, but how we do things matter. Amen? Anyone? Yes? How we do it matters. So for example, if I'm called to be a student, how I go about being a student matters. And our how, in my opinion, is more important than our what we do. It always trumps it. Not that what we do isn't important, but how we do it is always more important than what we do. You could be a very talented, great, successful musician. But if you're a big jerk, in God's eyes, he doesn't care. God isn't up there saying, oh, wow, you're so good. I mean, wow, you could sing so well. You could play that guitar just immaculately. Has anyone ever said that about a guitar player? You play that guitar so well. You're such a smart, straight-A student. You give the most powerful anointed sermons. But if you're a big jerk, God counts that more than what you can do. Why? Because God is the one that gives you the ability to do what you can do. God is the one that gave us our vocal cords. God is the one that gave us our ability to have a great hand-eye coordination, or whatever it takes to be a good musician. God gave us the ability to do etc. And so it doesn't really impress him, especially since he's in heaven. And in heaven, things are probably done a lot better than here on earth. He's not up in heaven impressed by what we do. But I think he is impressed by how we do it. He's impressed by how we do it. And how we do it is our identity. We are a child of God. All of us. When we ask, the Lord Jesus into our hearts, into our lives, we become born again, children of God, sons and daughters of God. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in this heavenly calling. Now, what is the heavenly calling Paul is referring to in... Sorry, I said Paul. I think Paul wrote Hebrews, but I'm not sure. But anyways, the writer of Hebrews says, your heavenly calling, in the context of the verses we just read, there are general callings in our lives, just as there are specific ones. The general calling that the writer of Hebrews is referring to, is we're all called to become the house of God. The house of God. A dwelling place for God. He's building us into this house for the presence of the Lord, and that's our heavenly calling. Certainly we have all individual, specific, personal callings, but this heavenly calling that he's talking about is becoming the dwelling place for God. I believe both in heaven and here on earth. That the church is meant to be the place where the Spirit of God dwells. This is honest. I was hoping to get an amen for that one, but that the church is where the Spirit of God is supposed to dwell.
Amen.
That's better. I mean, that's like 20 times better than the first time, but 100 times better. What does that mean? That means when we gather together as believers in a place like this, the Spirit of God should be moving in such a powerful way.
Yes.
Yeah. That when people come in, where the people of God come together and worship, that they should be like, wait, what's going on here? You know, there's something different about this place. I feel alive, or I feel hopeful, or I feel supernaturally something that was just outside of these doors. And when I came into the presence of God hit me so strong that God is undeniable. The dwelling, the house of God. You've all been to houses, right? What kind of question is that? No, I've never been to a house. You've all been to people's houses, right? And some people, when you walk into their house, you know, some houses are very, bright. Some houses are very dark. Some houses are very icky. You know, you kind of feel like you need to take a shower after you go into that house. Some house, it smells really good. Houses have a certain characteristic to them. The house of God, the characteristic should be the presence of God. The presence of God. That is our heavenly calling. And the writer of Hebrews says, because that's your heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. I'm having an inner dialogue. Whenever I like pause, I have this inner dialogue. Should I say that? No, yes, no. Okay. You know, if your thoughts needs fixing, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Okay. I shouldn't have said it. If you're, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts. What does that mean? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Do you have your thoughts fixed on Jesus? It's kind of hard to explain that concept. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Does that mean I shouldn't think of anything else? You know? What does it mean when it says fix your thoughts on Jesus? I remember several years ago, I actually forgot how long ago this was now. I remember I was at a different church, a bigger church, and they had this program called VBS. This is during the summertime. It's called Vacation Bible Study, and it's a wonderful thing that this church did to serve children. during the summertime, they could come to church every day for about a week and have this wonderful program for little kids called VBS. And our church, the church I was a part of at that time, they went all out. Like, they would spend at least a week of transforming the church campus. One year, they made this building into a huge, huge fish because the theme was Noah. And so outside, it looked like a fish. They had like a hose sprouting water. And when you went in, it looked like you were inside a belly of a fish. It was amazing. They would put, I mean, people, they didn't just like paint and color and draw things. They actually made stuff for this. So they went all out. VBS was a big deal. We'd get a lot of kids from the neighborhood. Just it was an incredible program. I was at the church, and I was, I want to say I was an intern there, but I think I had an even higher position. It was either an internship or a paid internship. I forgot which one. And I used to help out a lot at VBS, you know. Growing up at that church, I would help out as just someone that would take the kids from one room to another room, or sometimes they asked me to lead worship, and I'd do that. And then as I got older and as they got to know me, and they started asking me to do some teachings, and so I would do like a class, and it was a great time. But this one time, there was a new director. She was younger than me. She started directing, and she started asking people. And even though I was the intern, a paid intern, going to seminary, becoming a professional Christian, she didn't ask me to do anything. She didn't ask me to do anything. And I was a little butthurt. Can I say that? I was butthurt by that. I was like, hey, how come she didn't ask me, you know? But she would always ask, you know, if you want to help, we always need volunteers. And she'd make a general announcement. But I was like, hey, this is me, you know? I'm a seminary student. I'm somebody. I felt like I was a really good teacher back then. You know, I felt like I was talented and skillful, and you know, and I had a lot to offer. But she never personally asked me. Since I was employed there, I had to kind of be there, you know. I think I was taking a couple of kids that needed a ride to VBS. So I would be there early. I would go to VBS, I'd be there early, and I think I helped maybe the first day. And then the second day, I'm like, you know what? They're not going to ask me to help. I'm not going to help. And so I went, and maybe I got breakfast or something. Stayed away, and then when it was time to pick up the kids, I came and picked up the kids and went back. And then that whole week, I really didn't help. I was there, you know, showing my face here and there, but whatever. They don't want me to teach, whatever. I'm not going to be there. I don't need to be there. That's an example of not fixing your thoughts on Jesus. That's the point of that story. That's an example of not fixing your thoughts on Jesus. You know what I was fixing my thoughts on? Myself. Very selfish, self-centered, insecure, whatever you want, that was me. And I thought I was somebody, I thought I was a big deal, and this big deal didn't get asked to help out with anything, so I was a little, you know, hurt. I'm sure there was a lot more going on in my life that little thing triggered it all, and you know, I just stayed away. I didn't cause any trouble. I didn't, like, call anyone out or, like, rant or do anything like that. But, you know, I was very, it's very Japanese of me. I was very passive-aggressive, you know. That's how Japanese people deal with things. We're just very passive-aggressive. We might not say anything, but, you know, we're just not going to show up, I guess. So I did that. I just didn't show up. And, you know, the VBS coordinator, after the whole week is done, it's like an exhausting week, you know. After the whole week is done, I didn't help a bit. She wrote a thank you letter to everyone that helped. she wrote me a thank you letter. And I was like, oh, I don't deserve this at all. I think at that moment too, I realized I was such an idiot. What the heck was I thinking? I could never go back and fix that. That's in the past. But I realized that sometimes, even though we know all the right answers, I could say right now, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to fix our thoughts on Jesus. And all of you are like, yeah, I know, whatever. That's nothing new. That's nothing profound. Tickle my brain a little bit and give me something like that I've never heard before. I'm not going to tickle anything today. You've heard this a million times. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. But a lot of times, even though we know the answer, and we know we're supposed to do that, for one reason or another, we could get derailed from doing that. When we start fixing our eyes and thoughts on ourselves, we derail that process of fixing our thoughts on Jesus. When we start thinking, oh, we're a big deal, we stop fixing our thoughts on Jesus. When we start aggressively or manipulating our way into getting our way, we have stopped fixing our thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Because our heavenly calling depends on that. Our identity depends on that. Our identity and heavenly calling depends on what we fix our thoughts on. If I were to fix my thoughts on myself, I'll be so far from what God called me to do. Actually, let me go back. When I start fixing my eyes and thoughts on myself, self-preservation, I may still continue to do what God called me to do. Right? I could be a very selfish pastor. Very self-centered pastor. And I think that's my calling. That's why I'm doing this. I could be all of those things and still be in my calling, but I'm so far from who God called me to be that God is not impressed of how I pastor. God is not impressed by how many people come into the building. God is not impressed by how many people say nice things about me. God is not impressed with any of those things. What God is impressed about, what I can impress God with, is my heart, my attitude. And oftentimes, only God sees that. Same with you in your life. Oftentimes, only God sees that. Right. And a lot of times, we see that in ourselves too. We know when we're acting a fool. Thank you for laughing. We know when we're acting a fool. But Jesus is who we need to fix our thoughts on. Now, I explained a little bit what it looks like when we don't have our thoughts fixed on Jesus. Again, when I say fix, and the Bible says fix your thoughts on Jesus, it's not that we can't think about anything else. Of course we have to think about other things, right? Of course we have to think about who's going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think that's sinful necessarily. Of course we have to think about like our next lesson plan or our next assignment or how to deal with so-and-so at my workplace. Of course we're going to think about those things, but I believe when we spiritually and supernaturally fix our thoughts on Jesus, what changes is something more supernatural. Have you ever been in a place, personally, not in a physical place, but in a spiritual place of just loving people at a capacity you can't love them at? You know what I'm talking about? You love everything. I mean, you go into the grocery store and you just love that you could walk into a place and not worry about where your next meal is going to come from. Ever have that kind of gratitude before? That kind of love? Where you're just so thankful and grateful and loving that it just, it's like this isn't me. This is more than me. I'm sure some of us have had, you know, tastes of that, experiences of that. For me, that's not a normal thing. I don't know, some of you, is it normal for you? Yeah? Yeah? Good for you. Good for you. But it's not normal for me. I've had it before. You know, after certain like events or retreats or, I don't know, just certain spending a lot of time with the Lord, there's this gratitude, thankfulness, love that just, I don't explain, I can't explain, it's not from me, but it's from God. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. If I could give you a little snapshot, a picture of what that looks like, that's what it looks like. You're just thankful, grateful. You're loving. You see that person, the homeless person, and your heart breaks. You go into a grocery store and you're just so happy that you don't have to fight for or walk 10 miles to get clean water, that you, there's water just there that you could get. Heck, you could just get it out from the sink here in Tucson. Tucson water is actually pretty good. Sorry. I'm from LA, and LA water is horrible. It's horrible. But Tucson water is pretty good. And just thankful for stuff like that. But here, there's stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks to our identity. Stumbling blocks to getting our eyes and thoughts fixed on Jesus. Stumbling blocks to get to where God wants us to be. Stumbling block, one of the stumbling blocks is, the writer of the Hebrews talks about He's greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Moses. And there was a stumbling block where perhaps the believers, the Hebrew believers, were fixing their thoughts on Moses and what he did and what he wrote, the law. And that's a stumbling block for some of them. For us, I don't think none of us stumbles with thinking about Moses or thinking about the Old Testament law. I don't think any of us. Yeah, I don't see any like Jewish people here today. Sometimes, you know, they stumbled upon, oh, Moses, he's so great, his teaching, he was excellent in everything he did. He was, you know, he was Jesus before Jesus kind of thing. Today, we don't struggle with that. None of us struggles with that, so I'm not going to talk about that. But we do, I think, sometimes struggle with where we fix our thoughts on. In terms of, where do you and I get our values and beliefs? What is your source of your foundational values and beliefs? If we're not careful, we could pick it up from the television. Heck, we could pick it up from certain celebrities, comedians, commercials, slogans, just do it, you know. Some of us, we live, I'm really aging myself, I'm really dating myself here, just do it, right? Does anyone know where that comes from?
Nike.
Nike, yes, just do it. Here's another one, live your life, just live your life. I think that's, huh? Rihanna or American Eagle, you know, their slogan, just live your life. Some of us, we live, I mean, we get our values from the internet, the FOMO, we, you know, we FOMO sometimes. Look it up if you don't know what FOMO is. Just kidding. Fear of missing out, FOMO. You know, YOLO, some of us, we YOLO it. I actually don't, I forgot what YOLO meant. You only live once, you only live once. YOLO, FOMO, YOLO, whatever. But we're, if we're not careful, we'll get pick up values from these things. FOMO, fear of missing out. We'll pick up our values from memes, internet memes, the television, the radio. You know, the television is just has perfected brainwashing people. You know, literally, it just. I think it's a. One of those devices the devil made. I'm going to just say that. The devil made television. I said it. You heard it first here. Because it literally puts your brainwaves in an alpha mode, they call it. And in an alpha mode, it's just harder for you to have critical thinking. And so whatever comes through the television, as you watch it, you're just swallowing it, digesting it whole, not really critically thinking about it, and it becomes a part of your value system and belief system. And all of a sudden, just because some television ad said, this is cool, everyone thinks it's cool, and everyone's doing it. And if you're not doing it, you're not cool. As if cool is the most important thing in life. Right? Because it was for a long time in my life. And I think it came not from me critically thinking about it, not from any viable source material. It just came from a television set. Here, these Christians, they had to beware of, you know, stumbling over Moses, how great he was. Today, we have the stumbling block of media. Whatever you get your information from, whatever medium you get your information from, whether it's the internet, whether it's your smartphone, man, my wife could testify, I'm on this almost all the time. So it's so hard to like get away from. It's almost as if there's something missing if the phone is upstairs and I'm downstairs. Almost as if I left this home, like I would feel just insecure, like I'm missing something. Anyone else feel that way about their phone? Just me? If you do feel your way about this phone, be careful. Be careful that you're not fixing your eyes on something else other than Jesus. Because it will consume you. It will not only consume you, its purpose is to destroy you and get you out of your heavenly calling. How do we continue on in our heavenly calling? And I'll just close with this, is to be faithful, faithful, faithful to the one who appointed us. Just as Moses was faithful, Jesus is faithful. He is the builder of everything. And he is the builder of this house that we are supposed to be a part of. And we are his house, it says. We are his house in verse 6. We are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. We are his house if. There's an if statement. There's a lot of ifs in the Bibles. And here's a big if. We are his house if indeed we hold firmly to the confidence and the hope in which we glory. We have to hold on to the message we've heard. We could stumble over where we get our values and belief. We could stumble if we don't hold on. Where you are called and what you will be is the exact area that Satan will attack you. That's the very area that he'll attack you. Who you're called to be, your identity, and what you're called to do, that is exactly where Satan will attack you. And his hope is that you'll just give up. This is too hard. It's not worth it. I don't need to deal with this. You know, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to just let go instead of hold firmly. He wants you to lose confidence. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to say, I give up. I give up. I give up. It's too much. People don't appreciate me. Yeah. I'm a great fool of grad student. Why didn't they ask me to do this? Blah, 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 blah. Give up. I give up. I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do anything. They're going to miss out. In fact, what's happening is you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. By giving up, by calling it in, by saying, I don't want to do this anymore, you're going to miss out for your heavenly calling. And guess what? If you're not careful, it's going to affect other people around you too. It will. If you're not careful, it'll affect everyone around you. It'll affect your friends, your family, your kids. It'll affect everyone. Your dog. It'll affect your dog. Your dog will be like, I give up too. You know? It'll affect everything. So hold on. Hold on firmly to the confidence of the message you heard from Jesus himself and the disciples, written for us in the Holy Scripture. Hold on to that, because you do have a heavenly calling, far greater than anything that can be offered here on earth. God is offering you a heavenly calling, heavenly identity, that one day we will burst into. Until that day happens, hold on to that confidence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Lord, for those of us who are just in a place of just being critical, nasty, negative, unbelieving, hurt, insecure, self-centered, selfish, I pray, Father, you will speak to us, Lord. If we're coming to church with a lot of just doubt and negativity, or just a lot of discouragement, I pray, Father, and I speak right now in Jesus' name, that you would begin to fill them with your heavenly, godly confidence. A godly expectation. Your heavenly expectations. In Jesus' name, I call forth your hope, faith, and love to just begin to well up supernaturally from a source that is not within ourselves, but from you, Jesus Christ. You, Lord, can fill us with joy, with hope, with peace. This is your house, Lord. This is your dwelling place. Holy Spirit, we give you free rein. We ask that you would begin to fill us up with your peace and presence once again. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.